Second Kings. 23. We started on this before and we got down to, I think, verse 8 or 9. So I want to start verse 1. This is Josiah and Josiah's Passover. And it says this is what they did to prepare for Passover, and it's the greatest Passover that there ever was, is what it ends up saying. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah of Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all of the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the houses of the Lord, where the woman wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high place came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among the brethren. I think that's where we got. And again, this is something that each of you will have to determine in your own mind as to whether this is correct. But what I teach is that this, all those things are things that are taking place within you. And you have to cast out these offerings to Baal, the groves, the high places out of your mind in order to celebrate Passover, because you've been worshiping too many false gods. So that's where we now we're going to go to defiling Topheth. Does everybody understand? Anybody have any questions so far?
Well, the groves has to do with
sex,
sexual things.
And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. I don't know how many of you have been here when we studied that in the past. Molech was a god, and again, it's one vowel point away from the right god. And if you can think of it in Hebrew, it was written down as M-L-K. And so there was no vowels in the scriptures. And it was only those with revelation that had the vowel points. And they added the vowel points during the reading. And the true king is Melech. And the false king is Molech. And so how do you know whether you're preaching the truth or whether you're offering to the true king or to the false king. Because it's one vowel point away, Melech versus Molech. The high place is Bama. The low place where the word is preached from is Bima. One vowel point away, Bama versus Bima. The Bama is the high place activity that keeps you from the knowledge of the Lord and keeps you from abandoning yourself. The Bima, the low place, in the synagogue, it was the lowest seat. It's where the word of the Lord came from. How do you know what you're listening to? This is why every man must bear his own burden. You must decide whether what you hear is of the Lord or not. That's why the people of Berea were commended, because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. It's a pretty outlandish thing to hear that the Old Testament of the Bible is a revelation of a trek that you must make from you and the world to you to the mercy seat. Well, how do you know that? Well, I know it. But if you don't know it, it doesn't do you any good. You can just sit here around listening to some interesting intellectual stuff, but unless you make this trek, it doesn't do you any good. You're just an interested bystander. When Israel came out of Egypt and there was these people, Israel brought with them a whole lot of people that weren't of faith. And they were called the mixed multitude. And they followed the camp. But they didn't enter into the promise. The question is, are you of those that are going to enter into the promise, or are you of the mixed multitude that is just hearing with your ears?
Those mixed multitudes just not want to die, so they put the lamb's blood on the door, and that's how they lived? Or?
Yeah, they just lived. They put the lamb's, they got under the doorpost. They were the servants and the some others that were friends and stuff of Israel. And
they, that's all they knew.
That's all they knew. But you understand, it's fine to be for that for a while, but you've got to reach a point where you've got to say, my God, this may be true. Maybe this is the seat of Satan. Maybe this is the Antichrist. Maybe I can't trust this anymore. Maybe I can't believe this anymore. Maybe my only job in life is to go from Egypt to Jerusalem. And maybe that trek is truly in my mind. Maybe the eternal, maybe eternity in the high place, I mean, and the New Jerusalem is my overriding reality right now. Maybe it really is finished. Maybe all these little trips that my mind tells me are wrong. But it's something that each one of you must face individually. No one can face it for you. Unless you face it, you're only part of the mixed multitude. It's just sort of wandering around. Now, the valley of Hinnom is the dump. It's too bad Sherry isn't here. It's hell. Verse 10, he defiled Topheth.
What is
Topheth? It's Topheth is a word that means slaughter. But it's Topheth is in the valley of Hinnom. It's really the place of slaughter is what it's called. I mean, but it's hell. It's the dump. He defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. Now, what does that mean? Fundamentally, what it means, at the core level, what it means, is that you don't let your child run your life. If you let your child run your life, then your child has no place to go. He has no anchor. And you don't do all these things. You don't say things like, well, if you eat your vegetables, then you get dessert. I mean, think that's a perfect example of passing your child through the fires of Molech. Why? First of all, you're causing the vegetable to be the negative and the dessert to be the positive, and therefore you're giving the opposite of what is good for them for their obedience. And so you're creating a monster. You don't pass your children through the fires of Molech. Now, what was Molech? Molech was a Canaanite god that had the body of a man and the head of a bull. And they had the head of the bull because it was in the age of Taurus, and Taurus was the chief god of the age. So the head of the bull and the man, the arms of the man, it was hollowed and was brass. And a huge fire was built inside of the hollowed out body of Molech. And the children were passed through the arms as an offering. If the child was burned when he passed through, if his hair was singed or he was burned, then the child was declared an unfit sacrifice. And it became very similar to the untouchables. This is your kid. But what are you passing your... Well, there's not many people with children here, but all of you have been passed through the fires of Molech by your parents so that you would adopt the value system of the age. In other words, what you've done is you've taught your children to have no faith. You know, do you know what's cause of instant firing here in the school, or at least an instant really bad meeting with me? If a teacher says in the class, because I told you so. Or if a teacher says in the class, you should respect me because I'm an adult. Or if a teacher says in the class, well, you don't need to know that now. You'll learn that at the proper time. Because all those are evidences of what they're doing. The teacher has been passed through Molech, so all he's doing is passing the next generation through Molech. Does everybody understand me? When I was a kid, I was, this may surprise some of you, but I was an expert con man. I could cause my parents to jump through loops. I played in their guilt. I got them to do anything I wanted them to. I controlled their lives. And I hated them for it. That's why, you know, I told you you guys were creating a monster. A monster that will grow up to hate you. Because the purpose of a parent, really the only purpose, if you think about it, is to provide a safe environment and to provide barriers. It doesn't matter whether the barriers are right or wrong. It's so that they feel secure within the barriers. But if they know that they manipulate the barrier, then there is no barrier. You understand? You create a monster, and you create a being that will grow up and hate you for you putting them through the misery of life without barriers, without tent, without covering. That's what the fire, all of these are components of the fires of Molech. Now, what do you do about me? All of us have been passed through Molech. And we were singed. We were unworthy. Do you understand? We became the untouchables. Because we didn't, either we weren't able to, or we didn't buy into, or something happened where we didn't meet the value system of the Molech of the day, of the age. if you can understand it from God's standpoint, then that makes us the only ones that can hear Him. Because if we hadn't been singed, then we would have bought into the lie, or we would have been successful in the lie. So Molech is, there's a whole lot of tapes on Molech if you haven't, I don't want to spend any more time on it, but it's pretty interesting. Because what happens, do you understand, there isn't a parent alive that knows how to be a parent? And so what do? You do the best you can, you read books, you look, you do this, you don't want to do it like your parents because they fucked up. So what do? You don't have any real role models? It's so easy to fall into the trap. Because, see, you weren't meant to be a parent alone. You were designed to be a parent in a community where you had the combined wisdom of the community to deal with anything that came up. And he defiles Topheth. You getting an idea what it means to defile Topheth? I want you to, you understand, to defile Topheth, the way you defile it is really neat. Remember in Isaiah 29 it says, you have made a covenant with death and with hell, you're at an agreement. Some of you know that pretty well from hot seats. Right? You've heard that once or twice.
Yeah, I've heard a rumor about that.
Yeah.
We read a book about that.
It comes back to a really bad dream.
I heard some people have a problem with that.
What is to make a covenant with death and with hell? You're in agreement. It's so obvious that you can't hear it. It's that you think things are going to get better tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so way you defile Topheth is to say it's finished. Fuck you. It's not getting any better. It doesn't matter. It isn't an issue. It's finished. You don't have any more control over me. You're not going to lead me around the nose anymore. That's how you defile Topheth.
So you
say
it's to make a covenant with hell.
You make a covenant with death, and with hell, you're at an agreement. I didn't make that up. It's Isaiah 29.
I know. I was thinking you said something about tomorrow.
That's what I did. That's what it means to make a covenant with death, and with hell, you're in an agreement. Is the idea that your death is in the future, so you make a covenant with something in the future, rather than seeing the death now on the cross.
Yeah.
And things are going to get better tomorrow, so you don't have to face anything today. You can put it off. You can put it back in a closet. Some of these closets back here are so full. He defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire of Molech. Now, the reason I'm reading all this stuff is because I want you to make a list. What we're going to do between, in these next, from now on till Passover, is to prepare for Passover. We're going to start the throwing out of the leaven, throwing and recognizing where we see these in ourselves, and dispelling it, okay? Starting Tuesday.
Something happened to me this afternoon. For a long time now, I've not been thinking about not having a relationship or been moon-faced over anybody or any of that kind of crap. It's been like not an event. But this afternoon, I was driving down Skillman, and I started like feeling like, oh, it's Sunday afternoon, and all the couples are out, and I'm not part of a couple, and I'm never going to have a relationship. And then I started thinking about old girlfriends and stuff. And suddenly I remembered you saying to me over and over about worshiping the Queen of Heaven. And really, I have not understood what that meant. But for some reason today, I started to realize that my relationships with women have been, there's maybe been 100. And of the 100, there have been like 5 or 6 women that I thought were it. This woman is it. This is her. Well, the her is the Queen of Heaven. This is her. She's the one that's going to give me life. She's the one that's going to complete me, fulfill me, make me what I'm supposed to be, blah, 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 blah. And the rest were defined as not her. And I don't know what all that means, but I'm out of the blue, I just started to see what you've been talking about worshiping the Queen Mother. Because I remember in the case of two or three or four of these women, I have said, when I saw her, there was light coming out of her face, or, you know, it was like some magical bullshit. Oh, yeah, I said that. I believe that. I said that. I believe that.
So you understand what Queen of Heaven is?
Not really, no, but I know that there's I've spent my life looking for a woman who would give me life. Is that what it is? I've been looking for a female god.
Queen of Heaven.
Is that what that is?
That's part of it.
Well, it's not, it's something real, real deep. It's not eyes and it's not that. It's something far beyond what they look like or something. It's just that.
Look how many, I'm serious. You guys know this. It's a different mechanic for what in general, not even in general, in always what's looked for by what the ideal is for a woman and what the ideal is for a man. The ideal for a man, has to have, almost without exception, it has to have some component of some imagery of their own, in their mind, of what to them beauty is. But the image for a woman doesn't necessarily have that. It has to do with other intangibles that are
security.
It has to do with the mystery, the idea that of what the bride looks for in Christ, in it. And it's real important. It's things like acceptance without condition. It's like there's a real important part of it. I don't know how to say this part, but it's somebody that they can they have to be able to respect somebody, that person. And I think this is universal. It's so wild that for a man looks so important, and it's not that much of a deal, mainly for women. Who knows why? Well, I know why. Who knows why?
I know that word respect because eventually both my wives told me they didn't respect me or couldn't respect me. Because I was worshiping.
Well, anyway. And he took away the horses. We're in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 11. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathanmelech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. What the hell does all that mean? Horses were illegal in Israel. They couldn't own horses in Israel. Why? Because the horse was symbolic of strength and power. And it was only when Israel was apostate that they brought in horses and chariots. We've talked about this before, but Israel had no drama, no theater. Why? Because Israel had no artists, no great artists. Why? They had none. Because you weren't allowed to make a picture of what you thought was ideal. You weren't allowed to invent something in your mind of a play of how you think life should be lived. You had to live it. And you weren't allowed to lean on the horse or the chariot for your strength and your speed. You were it. You had to rely only on God.
Would it have been self-realization?
Yeah.
Basically,
yeah. And it would have been a worship of something other than what the condition that was. That's a heavy duty thing.
Did that go back to Moses? Is that where that started?
Yeah. Before? Yeah. But Israel had no spectator sports. They had no. They had nothing which would leave someone the capacity to be the spectator and the other the participant. It's just like Purim is the closest thing there was to their drama because it was something that everybody participated in. Can you hear the? It's like the stuff that, I mean. It's like here we have, you know, I hear this all the time from some, well, the kids are missing something because they don't have organized sports. They don't, I mean, how many, if I would have spent one jillionth of the time learning how to, you know, do something, you know, tennis or golf or something that would carry me forward the rest of my life instead of idiotic basketball. And I mean, it didn't take a rocket scientist to know that I wasn't going to ever make a living playing basketball. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? We are in this culture, we've passed each other through the fires of Moloch to such an extent that we believe we need all that horseshit. Anyway, the reason that they're talking about horses at the door of the court is because they had to destroy anything, any idea of strength except God. You got that?
So would those be like those horses in Revelation that just opens up, they take off?
No, this is another analogy. This was just anything that you used for strength. And the altars that were on top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord did the king beat down, and break them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. Now what were those? They were an idealized image of God. Did you ever look at the golden calf? We've studied it. It was simply a golden image of to God who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Moses made him grind it to dust, put it on the water, then drink the water. Guess where the image ended up. Okay, what is your, can you hear this? Both for Ahaz and Manasseh, what they did is they built an image of God in the temple. Can you kind of get a little handle on how much trouble, how much crap you've gotten into in your life because an image that you had of what God was supposed to be and God what the work of God should look like? Don't you see we are robbing God, we're robbing ourselves of joy by having an image of what we think the work of God should look like. And it robs us of the ever-present joy. Because it just is something else in the future that we think we have to get to or should strive for. Or it's, you know, it's someplace else we have to go because, well, this obviously isn't it. Do you understand? So the image that Manasseh made in the court, he put two golden calves in the court. And Ahaz was just another image of what God should be. Can you see how it robs? There can't be faith if that exists. So it's critical for the celebration of Passover that you have to destroy those images of what God is supposed to look like or what the work of God is supposed to look like. Am I communicating with anybody or am I just talking to air? I just get blank statements, stares, faces.
Well, it's not that saying that something good is God is bad. It's just that everything else then is not God.
In verse 11, you talked about the horses, but what's the sun? Is that like a god there?
The horses to the sun?
No, it's horses that the king's Judah had given to the sun.
Oh, to the
verse
sun.
Verse 11. Is the sun
The sun, no, it's S. Yeah, no, it's just. No, the sun is in every culture of ancient times. What else could you look at? The sun is what brought it, it's their image of God. That's why it's the image of God. But what did they do with it? They beat. These were golden images. You understand? Your image of God is always golden. Golden is because it represents something you think is glory and great and what it should be. Nobody thinks it. It's like we've said so many times. No one, not once in the history of the universe has anyone ever worshipped a false god. Not once in the history of the universe has anyone ever worshipped a stupid idol. That's why it's the preaching of the cross, that it's the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. It's the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because it's the only thing that can come against all of the idols and things that are time dependent. Capisce? Okay. And they break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. The brook Kidron is just this thing that's going into Gehenna. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel held builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Now, what's all that mean?
Sounds pretty bad.
What Solomon did is he made alliances with the Moabites, Zidonians, and Ammon, those three groups, and he made more than that, but with those three, he altered the view of worship in Jerusalem for the sake of the alliance of those three people. Solomon. You've never seen once that Solomon was ever, ever, ever compared to David. Solomon had wisdom. But David had the heart of God. David became the type of Christ. Solomon was another.
All I remember is the wisest man that ever lived.
He couldn't tell you what he. Tell me, you know what?
Yeah, he didn't know what the red heifer.
He didn't know what the ashes of the red heifer were for.
Wasn't that smart? Was
being smart is not always smart.
And he break in pieces the images and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of men. And you see what you've got, an image and a grove. The grove is always, the grove is the sexual, the thing that it's going to give you life. The images are the thing that, the plans, the ideas, the thing, the future. And they filled them. They broke them down and they filled them with the bones of men. How? Because the idea that all of the people that had bought into those lies in the past are all dead. So you fill them with the bones of men. And you see the futility, the idolatry is marred in your mind. So that you can truly abandon yourself. Take no thought for yourself. Amen. Okay. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made both that altar and the high place, he brake down and burned the high place and stamped it to small powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres. That's all. I never can say that word. He spied the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed to proclaim these words. Now what was the sepulchres? Why did he burn the sepulchres? Why did he burn the graves? Always at the high places, whether when you go to the Middle East now, there's always a high. I mean, it's weird. It's always a grove, normally some kind of high tree, top of a hill, graveyard, and a little place of worship there. It looks just like, I mean, everywhere I look in Greece, everywhere you look in Lebanon, same thing, all over. I feel like I'm looking at, you know, looking in everybody's minds. But what it is that every one of these high places has as a part of it the graveyard of the ancestors. And it's what it is ancestor worship. And none of you know what that means, I'm sure. They have to be destroyed and ground to dust. Well, so you're not...
give power to Molech or something.
Well, that's part of it. Do you understand how many of you worship your ancestors? Nobody here would even consider worshiping their family, would they? Didn't think so. So we didn't have to explain that one at all, do we? We got some bad families here.
I was going to say, is that really true? I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be true because nobody here's got shit for a family.
Turn around.
Wait a minute, Eric.
You
raise your hand
to
protect your family.
I mean, really. I mean, if I were like Abraham Lincoln's great-grandson or something, I'd probably...
I got a pretty neat family.
Do you think you worship your ancestors?
No.
Probably did it one time.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine?
I guess you do, though. Like, you're proud of being a Viking, right?
Then he said, what title is that? Oh, wait a minute. We got to go back up to the last half. It's talking about the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed to proclaim these words. Go to 1 Kings 13.
1 Kings.
And there was, this was like 300 years earlier, okay? 300 years earlier. No, item one. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, the child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense unto thee, upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. Okay, so that's the prophet. Unnamed, nobody knows who he is. 300 years later, Josiah is fulfilling this prophecy. All right? So we're in the second half of 2 Kings 23, the second half of verse 16. Well, let's go start verse 16. And Josiah turned himself, as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed to proclaim these words. And then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God which came from Judah, and proclaim these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. And so they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that had come out of Samaria. Now, why is all this emphasis on bones?
Because if the regeneration starts with the bones and the flesh is put back on for the new man, if your bones have been ground to dust, you ain't going to be regenerated.
Well, yeah, but that's the parable. I mean, what's the parable? The parable is the bones, the flesh and blood profit nothing, but the bones are the structure, the office the real, they, spiritually, they declare your office in the body of Christ. I don't know how to, so they took like the bones of Jacob and they brought him out of Egypt and brought him back into Israel. And there's, you're always running around, you know, we're going to read part of the readings for Passover are the Ezekiel prophesying over the dry bones and the bones coming together. Right, the bone of Christ not being broken. So, but the idea is that it's that's what's happening. As the Spirit of God is calling and calling forth the bones, that your office in the body would be fulfilled.
The high place is a counterfeit, though.
Right, the high place and the flesh are the counterfeit. They're the usurpers on the bones, if you can see that.
That's what would get dusted.
But you'll see a lot of it, and just understand it. That's what, when they're talking about the bones, they're talking about you fulfilling your office. How do I know that? I don't know.
I'm good.
Test it.
Everybody bought it. They all bought it.
It's the truth.
Did you hear Bernadette? Let's take a vote. No.
Hey, that's an idea. We could do that.
Okay, we're going to start a new form of Bible study. What we're going to do is we're going to come in every night.
Electronic town hall.
No. What we're going to do is we're going to sit. We're going to come in every night, and we're just going to sit here, and then I'm going to read a scripture, and then you're going to sit around and tell me what you think.
Yeah, let's go.
19, and all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew the sons of bitches.
Hey, my Bible.
You're supposed to print that in there.
That's the original.
You think Josiah's folks knew this when they named him Josiah?
I don't know. And he slew all the priests of the high places. That's what our job is. That's what preaching does. It slews. It slays and slews. Slew is really a dumb word. Isn't that sound? That sounds dumb. I'm going to slew. You got some slewing. You got some slewing to. You got some splaining to do. And he slew. Now I'm never going to ever. I'm never going to be able to read that. It doesn't look right. You know this conspiracy that we're in, where all we have agreed that these certain marks on a page mean something. We're going to vote that slew should be something else. It doesn't look right. He killed all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. Now we're ready for Passover.
The priests of the high places, the council of elders.
There you go. There you go. It's your Sanhedrin. Okay, now this is, I want you to feel when we're reading this, it's like we're there, okay? And God is saying it now to us. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. And this was one we're going to outdo this year. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of the king Josiah, where this Passover was holden in the Lord, to the Lord, in Jerusalem.
Michael, you said after all of the priests were slain,
everything's defiled.
Everything is defiled. There's no more confidence in flesh. There's no more confidence in these things, this.
No more mammon.
No more mammon.
Ideas about God should look like.
Huh?
No more ideas about God should look like.
Amen. Now, the question is, this is what I want us to do in here. Now, the only way I know to do this is for you to list the areas where you are still having any kind of leaven or any of these things that are going on.
Where you don't want to slew somebody?
Where you don't want to slew one of these priests. Or the Molech or the leaven or any of these things. or the aster, the groves. What I'd like us to do is to have a real relaxed, where we spend the afternoon, like on next Saturday, doing it somewhere. Is that possible for any of you, or is there any of you that's impossible? Please try to concentrate on things where there's the leaven, where leaven of Herod, but keep in mind, reread this section in 2 Kings 23. If you have any questions, but let's really try to prepare, let this be a Passover like no other Passover. Amen?
So are we doing leaven stuff? Wait, is this in addition to...
This is up there is the, it's just the final.
Oh, okay.
This is the burn?
No, we burn the list up at the Passover. This is going deeper than we would have just by the few, you know, the time that we would have there. Okay. Take it, big guy.